This evening I'd like to do a little bit of a word study, because words are very important. Words are what we use to communicate ideas. If I have an idea in my mind, and I want you to know what that idea is, I compress it into words, little word packages, and I send it to you, either speaking through the air or written, or now we can type it and send it through the air again that way. But we condense it into words, and we send it to someone else, and they take those words and they unpack it. And hopefully, if we did this right, the idea that I had in my mind, you have the same idea in your mind. So we've had the same idea, and we've used words to bridge that gap. So words are important. And when we're discussing any topic, it's important to define your terms so that we know when we use a word, we all know what we mean by it. That's why when you first go to school, you go to grammar school. The first thing you learn about any subject, about any topic, is the grammar. You got to learn vocabulary words, what things are called, what do we call this, and what's the name for that. And then we learn what words mean so that when we use them, we can correctly communicate those ideas with others. In relationship to the gospel this evening, in that context and at that topic, I want to define four words this evening. The first word is sin. It's a word that you hear Christians use a lot. They talk about sin. Christians love to talk about sin. But what does it mean? It literally means to miss the mark. And the object lesson normally given is if you were shooting a bow and arrow and you have a target with a red bullseye right in the middle of the target and you shoot your arrow to hit the mark, well, that's great. But if you miss, if you're just off the bullseye, then you've sinned. You've missed the mark. You didn't hit where you were supposed to. What do we mean when we use that term sin in the context of the gospel? We mean that we are falling short of the moral standards that God requires. If we say that someone has sinned, what we mean is they've missed the moral bullseye. God has a standard of what he requires, and a sin is anything that misses that. What is God's moral standard, though? What standard does he set? Most people say, well, you got to be a good person. Okay. Some people's thoughts go to the Ten Commandments, sort of a summary of God's law. Certainly they're very moral commandments. To fulfill them, you're righteous. You know, Peter quotes from the law as well. In 1 Peter, he quotes, "Be holy, for I am holy. Thus says the Lord, be holy, for I am holy." Our problem is, whatever you want to call that standard, whether it's good, righteous, or holy, our problem is that we've all missed the mark. We've all sinned. Romans 3, we read, "For we have previously charged both Jew and Greeks," so everyone, "that they are all under sin. As it is written, there are none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one." A little bit later on in the same chapter, we read that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That we've all missed the mark. We've all not met that moral standard. If we're trying to be good people, it's kind of like throwing rocks and trying to hit the moon. Saw the moon out earlier today. I don't know, it looked pretty far away. If we all lined up and we got a rock and we were all going to throw a rock and try to hit the moon, you might throw further than me, or I might throw further than someone else. But none of us are going to hit the moon. We're all going to fall short. So we might try to live good lives and be good people, and one person might do a little bit better than another. But we've all missed the standard that God requires. The second word I want to look at and define is wages. Wages is an earned payment. It's a payment that you earn, that you deserve. If you worked for an employer for a day and he promised to pay you such and such amount, you work so many hours and I'll pay you this much. And it came to the end of the day. And what if the employer didn't pay you? He just said, no, I'm not paying you. No excuse, no reason, just nope, not going to pay you. What would you do? Would you be upset about it? I'd be upset about it. I've worked all day and he's not going to pay me. Why am I upset though? Why would we get upset? Because we deserve that wage. We earned it. We did the work. We worked for it. It is ours by right. In fact, in this country and many other countries, you can, if an employer doesn't pay you and they're obligated to by contract, you can take them to court and you can go to the government and say, look, they have to pay me because I earned it. It is my right payment. They must give it to me. I deserve it. Again, in the book of Romans, a few chapters later, we read this. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. We've looked at sin before. We know what that means. We've all sinned. But what we've rightfully earned by sinning is death. It is a earned payment, a rightful payment, a righteous payment. And we deserve it. The Bible also talks about a second death. At the end of the book in Revelation 21, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There's a second death. It's a lake which burns with fire and brimstone. It's described that way. That's what we've earned by our sin. By missing God's moral standard, we've rightfully earned death, and the second death as well. But you know what God did to rescue us from that second death? You know what he did? The third term I want to look at is four. Not the number four, the three-letter word four. That is F-O-R. F-O-R. Little word, but it carries a lot of meaning. It's a preposition. It indicates purpose, direction, the recipient, and reason. The reason for something. You know, if we were going to see a movie, a new Minecraft movie just came out. If we were going to go see a movie, we were going to the theater, we're going to meet at the Odeon down here, and we were going in, and he said, now wait a second, I need a ticket to get in. I have to buy a ticket. And I said, no, I already bought a ticket for you. Then would you have to buy a ticket? No. Did you buy a ticket? You didn't buy a ticket. I bought it for you. I bought it on your behalf. I bought it instead of you. And then you can go in. You can see the movie. Same thing if you received a citation from the guards, a little sticker on your windshield, and you owed a fine. And someone else came along and paid that fine for you. But the fine is paid. Do you still owe a fine?
No.
You don't owe a fine. It's been paid. But did you pay it? No, someone else paid it for you, on your behalf. There's an idea of substitution here. Someone stood in that place of owing that payment and paid it for you. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says that Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. This is the reason Jesus died on the cross. Many people know that Jesus died on the cross, but a lot of people don't know why he died on the cross. He died on the cross for our sins. Remember the death that we rightly earned by sinning? By our sin, we rightly earned the wages of death. Jesus paid that for us on the cross. He stood in our place. He bought our ticket for us. He paid our fine for us in our place. That is the reason that he died on the cross. That was the purpose that he died on the cross. The fourth word is believe. It's the word we use a lot. It's used 98 times in the Gospel of John. It is written to believe. And we could actually use a few different words to communicate the idea of believing. We can use faith. We often talk about a faith or keeping the faith. But believe and faith or having faith is the same idea. Also trusting. If you trust something. And reliance upon. If you're relying upon someone for a lift, you're trusting them that they're going to collect you and drop you safely. You're believing in them. John 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," that's Jesus' death on the cross, "that whoever believes in him should not perish," that's that death that we earned, "should not perish, but have everlasting life." So let me ask you, who will not perish? Who will have everlasting life? Those who believe in him. Those who believe in him, who have faith in Jesus. This gift of God, of Jesus' death on the cross, paying for our sins, it's received by faith, by belief. Doesn't mean that we know certain facts. That's not what believing means. Many people know that Jesus died on the cross. That's not believing in him. It doesn't mean that we understand the principle. That's kind of what we're doing here. We're understanding the principle why Jesus died. He died on the cross for our sins. We can know the facts. We can understand the principle. But we need to trust in it. We need to rely upon it. We need to put our faith in it. We need to believe in it. You know, there's a lot of people that look at an airplane and they may know what it's made of, all the metals and plastic and electronics. They may understand the principles of aerodynamics and lift and how the airplane stays in the air. But if they don't trust it, they're not going to get in the plane. They're not going to put their life in the plane. They're not going to trust it. They're not going to believe in it. Or maybe they do, or maybe they don't, depending on if they think the plane will get them there or not. Well, Jesus is not an airplane, but he is offering to bring us to heaven. So the question is, what are you trusting in to get you to heaven? Is it being a good person? Remember we read, "There are none good, no, not one." All of our goodness and righteousness has missed God's moral mark. We've missed the target. Are you trusting in your good works? Maybe regularly attending church, will that get you to heaven? Giving money to the poor? It's a great thing to do. Will it get you to heaven? What will get you to heaven? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. He died for your sin. If you rest in him, if you rely upon him, that he will get you there, that is faith. That is believing. Four simple words, but it's good to know and understand these definitions. Sin means we've all missed the mark. Wages mean we've all rightfully earned death. Four, Jesus died on our behalf. He died for our sins. He paid the death that we owed. And believe. By trusting in him, by resting in him, relying upon him, we receive everlasting life. And God's word says that we shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Four simple words, but very wonderful definitions. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word, which communicates the ideas that you have, the plans that you have for us, and the way that you have for us. communicates these things to us. When we read it, Father, we see the beauty of your love for us and your provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just want to thank you. Thank you for him, for the death that he died on our behalf, but also for your word and our time together this evening to consider it. Lord, we thank you and praise you. In his name, in Jesus' name, amen.